Smart money on Down to Business. Thanks to Goodbody. Trust, integrity and expert advice for 140 years. Goodbody.ie.
Yes, it's Smart Money with thanks to Goodbody. When each month we are joined by Owen Redmond from Goodbody to answer any financial planning queries you might have. This month, we're going to look at the problem, maybe challenge, of replacing income in retirement, especially now that retirement no longer really means working in a stable job for 40 years until you leave with the gold watch and the fat pension. Good morning, Owen. How are you?
Good morning, Bobby. How are you?
Retirement is an interesting, it has changed a lot. And yes. I think people are working longer, people are working differently. And I think the financial world needs to change to reflect that.
It does, you're right. No longer can we rely upon sort of these guaranteed income streams. I'm trying to avoid the P word, that dreaded word, pension. People just, they switch off, shutters go down, and it's like, oh God, no. Because I think it's kind of the Father Dougal effect. It's money in my pocket is near, my pension or my retirement income is far away. And that's what we like to try to do, is to just educate people that they really have to start planning.
When somebody retires, Owen, it doesn't or shouldn't preclude them from working part-time.
No.
So what are your views on that? Like, if in fact, it might be a very nice scenario if you're fortunate enough to have a pension and to be able to retire, to work 2 days a week at something that you really love doing something that you're, or even to volunteer or to, are there tax implications taking that decision to work part-time?
Well, typically all your income is taxable. Like in retirement, your income is taxable, but obviously your tax benefits, your tax thresholds go up before you start paying tax after you've retired. So you have to just take all your income into account. Like people perhaps have, like the pillars of retirement income are really the state benefit, which we found is sort of moving out. It used to be 65, you'd hang up the boots and then it moved out to 66 for the old age pension. Then now it's 67, 68. I would put a bet on 70 being penciled in somewhere
soon
for the future. Yeah, well, it's like 68-year-olds, from 2028. If you turn 68 from 2028 or onwards, that's when you'll access your state benefit. So it's people who are working now and sort of looking forward to saying, actually, well, I thought I was going at 66, now it's going to be 68, but it's aging further out because we're living longer and there's fewer people. Like there's 100,000 extra 65-year-olds. This is a report from Irish Life recently. It's 100,000 extra 65-year-olds in the last 5 years, but there's only 44,000 15 to 64-year-olds. So there's fewer people working to support that state benefit.
Yeah, so does that mean that we're causing a problem for our children and indeed our children's children?
That demographic pyramid is starting to actually fatten out at the top, so people are living longer and there's fewer, and people are having smaller families, so it's putting pressure on the pension.
Okay, we've a couple
I said
of
it, I said it I know I said I wouldn't
well I've done pretty well not mentioning it. We've a load of texts in. Let's deal with a couple of them. Is my mother's state pension going to be affected by the fact that she's thinking of working 3 hours a day as a lollipop lady? That's from Jeanette.
If it's a means-tested pension, because there's two, there's a contributory one where they take into account your stamps, your contributions, your PRSI payments, and the others are in related to if there's a means test if your income is below a certain level. So working 3 hours a day, the first €200 per week of earnings is disregarded. So 3 hours a day
should be under that.
So okay, I don't really see it as a
thing. Another text comes in, and it's a general one, but we'll see if we can deal with it. It's from Breed. I have a six-figure sum lying in a bank. Lucky you, Breed. How can I make some money on it? Low risk, please.
Yeah, there we go. That's the challenge. So it's really about sitting down and assessing. Like if it's low risk, unfortunately the risk reward piece is key. If you want to get a higher return on your money, unfortunately in the current environment with low interest rates, you're moving out that risk curve. Bond yields in Germany, you know, flat, you know, there's nothing there really, you know. So you really need to sort of move up into sort of equity.
What you're saying is that you have to take, if you want to get any return, you have to take some risk.
It's about being balanced. It's about sort of, you know, having some asset allocation in there where you're actually taking a little bit of risk with some of it in order to improve the return of the lower risk portion.
What are the rules around spread, Owen, if we talk about risk there? So if we talk about property, stocks and shares, equities, bonds, what percentage should you have in what to be low to moderate risk?
Yeah, well, if you're low to moderate risk, it's going to be heavily weighted in cash and fixed income, which is bonds. You know, it's going to be down that bottom end of the scale in terms of return, simply because there's somebody in the background giving you a promise of a return of money. Whereas if you go up the curve in terms of equities, you're at the mercy of the market. Alternative funds, in terms of like hedge funds, again, you're relying on the movements of the markets to give you a return. It also depends on when you need to get your money out. The longer you have, the slightly more risk you can take, because the time value of money moves out the curve. You can actually invest in a higher risk way if you can afford to invest for longer. Whereas if you're short term and you need a specific return, you have to keep it really tight.
Time is an asset, is what you're saying.
Time is a huge asset, you know, because the compounding effect of dividends, of you know, returns and the management of the money, it gives it a chance to be you know, it gives it soak time in the market to be able to grow.
We have another text here that says, hi, Bobby. How much should a single 42-year-old working lady put away a month for a reasonable pension? A very good question from Shirley.
Okay, it's about there's a really, really good calculator on the Pensions Authority website, and I was only on it yesterday. You simply just put in your details and your salary percentage, and you know, you'd really want to be sort of in the 15-20% bracket of your salary in terms of a contribution. It depends if your employer's contributing as well, so there's a few different factors. So
if you were on, and again, we'll just use a hypothetical situation, if you're on 80 grand a year, 20% would
16,000. So yeah, Father Dougal effect.
It's a lot every week. It is.
But
when you think about it.
If you don't have an existing fund, just you know, bear in mind you're trying to replace probably 60% of your income in a relatively short time frame, because you know, if you put away 20% to replace 60%, and you've only got from 40 to 66 or 67 to build that up.
Okay, as always, a fountain of knowledge on the P word and other matters relation to investment. Owen Redman, thank you very much.
Smart Money on Down to Business. Thanks to Goodbody. Trust, integrity and expert advice for 140 years. Goodbody.ie.
Loads more to come. Stay tuned.